Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Humbly request the brothers to come closer, inshallah. Allah reward you. It's a very Mubarak time between Asar and Maghrib on a Friday. Inshallah, we'll listen to a little bit of talks of deen. And inshallah, we'll make dua. Allah will accept, inshallah, his month of Ramadan as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah. إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا وتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وقال تبارك وتعالى وهو الذي جعلكم خلائف الأرض ورفع بعضكم فوق بعض درجات ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم إن ربك سريع العقاب وإنه لغفور رحيم قال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العظيم صدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most beloved ulama ikram, elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many incidents in the Quran, and among the incidents that Allah mentions are the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, the prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know who is the first human being that Allah has created and sent into this earth. So he was in Jannah. We know the story, we know the incident. From small we were listening about Adam alayhi salam being in Jannah and how he ate from the tree, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him down into this earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this incident. He says in the Quran, in the first juz, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. That Allah uses the word khalifa. Khalifa is a vicegerent, a deputy, a representative. So if I sent you to do some job for me, then you are my khalifa, you are my deputy representing me. So Allah is saying, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ, that I am going to make, or I am making a khalifa, a deputy, a vicegerent, a representative in the earth. So they responded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. The angels also knew what will be, what is human beings or common problem they have. So they also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of curiosity. They are also fascinated and astonished. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا, that are you going to put in this earth, مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, those that will cause corruption, fasad, يُفْسِدُ, fasad, will cause corruption in the earth, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا, and you're going to spill blood. So even before the first man came into this earth, man was already known for two things. One is the fasad and the corruption, and the blood that they're going to spill. You can see how many thousands of years have passed now. Man still has those qualities in him. How much of fasad is causing in the earth, and how much of blood is being spilled every day in this earth. So the angels also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is what man does, why are you even setting them in this earth then? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying, or in fact the angels then also said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're making man who has these evils in them, and you're putting them in this earth. We are here, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ. We are making a tasbih, we're glorifying you. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, we're glorifying you, your majesty. We are making, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. The angels never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do whatever has been commanded. Some are always in ruku, some are always in sajda, always in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, why is the need to make this if we are so pure, so chaste, so clean, always in obedience, you're making this human being who's going to have these qualities in them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. That I know that which you do not know. I know that which you do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So it's very, very important for us to understand automatically now that Allah is Hakim. Allah is full of wisdom. Our logic also would have said, hey, why are you making such a creation? Yeah, the people are there always obedient, but always attribute anything, every issue, every matter to the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Hakim. He is full of wisdom and Alim. He is the most knowledgeable. He knows. We don't know. We have little bit of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledge. He is all encompassing. He knows everything. There is nothing that escapes the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is full of wisdom. When things happen and certain things occur, He is the one that is full of wisdom. He knows what is best. According to our logic, it doesn't make sense, certain things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. He is all full of wisdom. So similar ayat Allah mentions in the Quran as well. وَهُوَ الَّذِي related to this word. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah is saying that He is the one who has made you Khalifa. Khalaifa. Plural of the word Khalifa. Khalaif. Maybe it can be a plural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you vicegerents, deputies in this earth. So now it's important for us, if that is the title and that is the name that has been given to us, all of us are khalifas, human beings on this earth are khalifa, deputies and vicegerents. That means we are doing and we have been sent to fulfill a certain job, a certain task. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just leave us, okay, we must figure out now. We have a duty and a task, we are the khalifa of Allah in this earth. Now you must scratch our heads, have our own meetings, and decide now what should we do. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So Allah said, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, right, we're sending you in this earth, you my khalifa, and they are going to do certain jobs and duties you are fulfilling as a khalifa in this earth. And then after Adam alayhi salam went, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another Nabi, another Anbiya, and more Anbiya came in, more prophets came. So much so that we hear over 100,000 Anbiya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Prophets Allah had sent. Why Allah had sent them? For the same reason. They are the khalifas of Allah to show man that, oh man, you have been sent in this earth. You have a duty and a responsibility being the vicegerent and the representatives of Allah in this earth. So do not forget your responsibility and your duty. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent final prophet, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. And all these prophets came, Allah mentions in them in the Quran, and we read in the books of Sirah also how they fulfilled their duty and their responsibility very, very diligently and in different contexts and environments. Like for example, Shuaib alayhi salam was sent to the environment when the people were so engrossed in business. Another Nabi was sent when the people were engaged in manufacturing and business, very powerful people. So different Anbiya were sent to different categories and types of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a final prophet, seal of all prophethoods. Khatam al-Nabiyin. Now no more prophet is going to come. So now, after the prophets are gone, we are now 1,400, so many years, over 1,400 years from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is this duty and responsibility of being the Khalifa, taking up the responsibility, going to continue? Because no Prophet is going to come till Qiyamah. No Prophet is going to come. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created special type of people who we call the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected them. Allah had, as we can say in English, hand chose them. He hand picked them. And these were special people who were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah had mentioned in the Quran regarding them. Every single one, each and every one of them were hand picked and selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have already been given a certificate that Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these sahaba We're chosen. They are now going to be that Khalifa. They are going to continue being the vicegerents, and this responsibility that needs to be, you know, the effort that needs to continue in this earth, they're going to take it up further. So obviously, if they were handpicked and they were selected, they must have had some very special and unique qualities. In fact, they had many, many unique and special qualities. Like if you want to choose somebody for a certain job, the position you have in your company, and depending on the position you have, you're going to look through the person's CV, look through his experience, see what he has, then you're going to employ him. You need him to do a certain job and a certain task, then he needs to have that type of qualification, he needs to have that type of experience, then you're going to choose him. It's logical. You need somebody who run a certain machine in your factory, you're going to see he got qualification, got experience. You won't just put any ordinary person, because they're going to damage that machine of yours. Or you got a professional business, accounting business, or a medical business, you need to employ someone, you're going to see you got that experience. Otherwise, instead of saving the person, they'll kill the person. If it's a medical field, if it's an accounting company business you have, the person you employ, instead of doing the books correctly, it can cause big problems, they can go through big financial loss. So you're going to look at the qualification and the experience of the person, then you're going to put him to do the job. We all understand that. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, that their effort must continue, Allah had chosen the Sahaba to be in the Prophet's company, so most certainly they had certain type of qualifications and experience, the sifat and qualities with them, that Allah had given them the great responsibility and attached them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ulama ikram, they went into the Sahaba's lives, each one of them. They saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, Saad bin Abi Waqas, Zubair bin Awam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. All the Sahaba ikram, over 100,000 of them. And obviously each one of them had special qualities, uniqueness in them. And mashallah, all beautiful qualities. So many, you can list it from one, it can unending. So many qualities, sifat that they had in them. So the ulama for our is, we are weak, khuliqal insanu da'ifa, we forget. So they looked into the life of Sahaba and they saw, okay, maybe there is common qualities in each one of their lives, that if we bring those qualities into our lives, then inshallah, we will also get the lofty position, that acceptance from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But most importantly, if they are the khalifas, they are the deputies of Allah, and these sifat are found in them, then inshallah, we are also khalifas. So we also need to make sure that these sifat are found in our lives. So they extracted and they looked and they saw, okay, their lives have common features and qualities. So the ulama have given us this. And it's not anything ordinary. We may have heard it over and over, and some of us also can rap it all, you know, by heart, we can just say it. But these qualities need to become ingrained. It need to become part and parcel in our lives. In fact, if you look at the month of Ramadan that we're currently in, we are fasting. It's not about physical fasting. It's not about just abstaining from food and drink. It's physically to be absolved of the responsibility. The farad is you cannot eat. Sehri time, you don't eat now. Maghrib time, this now will be iftar. You're going to eat at that time. We're going to abstain from food and drink. It's a physical exercise that we're going through. But that's not the purpose of fasting, to stay hungry. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Rubba sa'imin laysa lahu min siyamihi illa al-ju'." Then many people are fasting, and the only outcome and benefit they get of fasting is staying hungry. Is that why we're fasting, just to stay hungry? We brought our breakfast time a little bit earlier. Instead of having breakfast 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you have your breakfast now 3:30 in the morning. Instead of having your lunch at 3, 4 o'clock, you have lunch now, you have a meal at Maghrib and just stay hungry for the whole day. Yes, you stayed hungry, you fulfilled that command of Allah Ta'ala, you'll be absolved of the responsibility, and inshallah, you'll get reward also. But fasting ought to have brought into our lives some sifat, qualities into us, and that's a very strong spiritual dimension that we have to always remind ourselves, what is the link between abstaining from food and drink and gaining the objective of fasting with this taqwa. Allah mentioned quite clearly in the Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You're fasting so that you must get taqwa. So how is this taqwa going to come into my life? By abstaining from food and drink. So fasting is to bring sifat into us. It's more about the spiritual thing, more than the, just the physical action of abstaining from food and drink and relationships with one's spouse. It's about the spiritual dimension, the spirituality or the ruhaniyat of fasting has to come into our life. Sifat has to come in our life. So that is why when we look in the life of Sahaba, they had sifat, they had qualities in them. And we have to now make an effort that this sifat come into us. Ramadan is to bring the sifat in us. And it mustn't be that we just stayed away from food and drink, but the rest of our life is just normal. No. Fasting is teaching us now, you don't eat. Although as much as we want to eat now, don't eat. Suppress your own desires. Give preference to what Allah tells you. Now when it's Maghrib time, somebody might think, you know what, if it's iftar today at 6:35, let me eat at 6:30, what difference is going to be? 22 minutes. 2 minutes beforehand if I eat, I fasted the whole day. I don't think there's a big train smash. But nobody will eat. As you wait for the azan to go at 6:32 or 6:35 when it's time, then I'm going to eat. Why? Because that's the command of Allah. I can't do what I want. لا إمن وحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. That I am not a believer unless and until my life is subservient. I'm surrendering myself to the command of Allah, to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants me to do. Now when we have trained ourselves in Ramadan for this quality to come, now it's not only restricted to eating. It must become part and parcel of our lives. It must infiltrate and permeate every aspect of my life. So now what is my muamalat in my business dealings? You can't say I'm fasting on the one hand, I'm not eating now because I'm fasting. But my business dealings, that I'm, when I'm doing business, then I'm doing any type of business. There also now, Allah's command, what Allah wants me to do, I can't do what I want. It might sound very lucrative, good business deal, good investment returns I'm getting, but maybe there's some interest involved, or you're doing down somebody, or you're cheating, or you're robbing. I can't do it. Command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I learned that lesson from fasting. It infiltrated, it rubbed onto my business dealings. Now also in my mu'asharat, when you're having our weddings, when you're having our functions, when you're your wife and spouse and children, how you're speaking to them, how you're engaging with them. Now you can't say, okay, you fasted in Ramadan, but everything there now is against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the whole objective and the whole idea of fasting to extend has been defeated. I'm not saying we're not going to be absolved and get rewarded. You're going to get rewarded and we fulfill obligation. But the fasting ought to have brought a change in your life. Now, when you're having your functions, you remember you'll do it according to how Allah wants to do it. Not how my family is telling me to do it, how my friends did it. You do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when you're speaking to your wife and your children, you be very careful about vulgar words coming, because I can't speak, although I'm a very hot-headed person, anger is in me, but it doesn't justify. I have to learn what Allah wants me to do, suppress my anger, be very kind and courteous to my neighbors. How? My akhlaq. My akhlaq has to be in conformity to Allah's teachings, it's to be in conformity to the beautiful sunnah of the Prophet. Where I'm learning this from? Fasting. It has to infiltrate, it has to permeate, it has to spread into every dimension of my life. Otherwise, as I said, fasting is just going to be tick box. Be over the month of Ramadan, 30 days. Imagine you're going through this exercise for 30 days. And if Allah hasn't come in our lives, the quality of taqwa, the sifat have not come in our lives, then we have really not achieved the objective of fasting. And every our aqaid, now our belief system, imagine you're fasting. No, we're fasting, but our belief is incorrect. We don't have the correct yaqeen and conviction on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then isn't it something for us to reflect on? So coming back, the Sahaba ikram had sifat also. It was just linking it to Ramadan, that Ramadan is meant to bring the sifat. So what are some of the sifat that the Sahaba ikram commonly had? All of them were strong in their iman. They were strong in their iman, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was inside, ingrained, it was right within the deep recesses of the heart, not just on the surface. So when we say La ilaha illallah, And Muhammadur Rasulullah, alhamdulillah, we have become Muslim, we have Iman, we believe in Allah, we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's not just lips, it's not just the movement of the lips. Iman, the true Iman actually is tasdeeq bil qalb. One is taqreer bil lisan, verbally we are saying it, it's important to verbally do it. But the real Iman, when you say La ilaha illallah, it has to be from our hearts. And the demands and the dictates of this La ilaha, when we say La ilaha, is we negating everything. La ilaha, there is nobody worthy of worship. There is no makhluk, there is no ma'bud, there is nothing except illallah, is affirmation. It's negation, in negating everything else, and affirming is bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. It's like we have to clean. You go through this washing machine, deep cleaning process, and remove everything else. Ghairullah must come out from our hearts, and Allah must come into our hearts. That is how La ilaha illallah. We say Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many ways, there are so many fashions, there are so many celebrities and different things that occur in the world, and people are promoting so many different things. But we believe that our success in this world and in a qabr and in an everlasting akhirah lies only and wholly in obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as shown to us by the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from 1400 years ago till today and till the day of qiyamah. Is there going to be any change? Ramadan is a month of Quran. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. The Quran is being revealed. Alhamdulillah, many people reading the Quran in Ramadan. We listen to the Quran in Ramadan. The Quran has not changed. It is the exact same Quran that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the exact same Quran that we're reading today, and it will be the exact same Quran till the day of Qiyamah. So if the Quran is the exact same thing, it means that the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly the same. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is exactly the same. It's the same hadith that we read 1,400 years ago. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same hadith we're learning today, is the same one till the day of Qiyamah. So automatically the conclusion should be that our success will lie in doing that. So the Quran again is not just about reading. Reading the Quran, alhamdulillah, every letter you're going to read, you're going to get rewarded. Allah is going to reward you. But the Quran is meant to bring the teachings alive in our lives. How much of the teachings of the Quran are alive in our lives? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not for us just to say we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hubbur Rasul is there. But how much of his life practically is alive in our lives? So, La ilaha illallah. No God, nobody worthy of worship except Allah. That has to permeate. Nothing will happen without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody gets sick. Nobody will get better except with the permission of Allah. You won't get 1 cent more, 1 cent less, except with the permission of Allah. You will not breathe in one more, nor breathe out one more, except with the permission of Allah. You will not be able to take one step without the permission of Allah. Nothing will happen without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, every aspect of his life must become part of my life. The way I dress, the way I eat, the way I sleep, the way I do business, the way I interact with my wife and my children, everything must be in conformity to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how is this going to come into our lives? We have to continuously speak about it. We must listen more about it. The more we talk about it, the more we speak about it, the more we listen about it, inshallah, the more of it will come into our lives. And for this also, we have to make sometimes some harakah, some movement. Changing of environment brings barakah. Harakah brings barakah. We always in the environment of our own homes, our businesses, listening to the same thing. We have a certain routine. So now it becomes difficult for us because we are very accustomed. So we mean shift the environment. We go more in the environment of the masjid, where there's learning and teaching that's taking place all the time. When there's ibadat and zikr taking place, when there's khidmat that is taking place, and we're all the time giving dawah, then inshallah these qualities will become part and parcel of our lives as well. Then amongst the Sahaba ikram, they were extremely careful about their salah. Every one of them. Ramadan also is training us. In Ramadan we are reading 20 extra rakats. No other time of the year. So obviously now Ramadan and salah are very strongly linked. Allah has made it such. Rasulullah has 20 extra rakats. Every rakat we got 2 extra sajdas. Means we got 40 extra sajdas every night, 400 extra sujood every 10 days, 800, 1200 extra sujood every Ramadan we are making. And أقرب ما يكون العبد إلى الله وهو ساجد. The closest a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whilst he is in sajda. So now we have to make an effort. It can't be just up and down, anyhow salah. We have to make an effort that the salah becomes like the salah of the sahaba ikram. What was their salah? Their salah is when they said Allahu Akbar, everything else out. They forgot about everything else. It's as though they're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though they can see Jannah, as though they can see Jahannam with full concentration. And they use salah as a means to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when you're performing our Taraweeh salah, we want to go to that venue where they finish quickest. Now, Qari Sahib Bicharo is under so much of pressure as it is. Now you put more pressure. Qari Sahib, you're reading too slow. Qari Sahib, you're making too much of mistakes. You're putting under tremendous pressure. The only the person who's in the musalla will know the pressure that is there when you're standing there. But what the salah is supposed to be, where we get sweetness and connection with Allah. Now when you are with somebody you love, with your beloved, do you want to spend lesser time or more time? Spend more time. When you with somebody you love, do you enjoy being in that person's company or you don't enjoy being? You enjoy being in that person's company. You want to spend more time. You enjoy being in that person's company because you love that person. So we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is via the salah. So should we perform in shorter salah or longer salah? Longer salah. Are we enjoying our salah? Does any one of us get the sweetness and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we even really think of Allah once in our salah, in his postures? Many of us are far from that. So we have to make an effort so that the quality of our salah gets much, much more stronger. Then the sahaba ikram sought knowledge. In Ramadan also is about learning. We need to learn. Whatever we learn is going to take us to Jannah. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. A person who will tread the path of seeking knowledge. And where knowledge till where? From when we're going to learn? From the cradle to the grave. From the time we are born till the day we die, every single moment of our life we should be learning, learning, learning. الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ. Knowledge is light. It means if you don't seek knowledge, then you're going to be in jahalat and ignorance, in zulumat. The opposite of nur is darkness. So the more knowledge we seek, the more light we get in our life, and the more we'll be on the straight path. But obviously now we need to seek knowledge from the correct avenues. So for the ulama ikram, mashallah, in Durban, in South Africa, we don't have any shortage. Alhamdulillah, we need more, but there's no shortage as far as knowledge is concerned for the masail. Ramadan is an apt, good opportunity for us to seek knowledge about our ibadat, our salah, our zakat, our fasting, our hajj, masail, every aspect of our deen. Literally, even if we went to the bathroom and toilet, our deen has given us teachings. How we should use the bathroom, our tahara, relationship to the spouse, even that also there is masail. That's the beauty of our deen. We haven't left anything to our own knowledge. We find out what is the teachings of the deen about every aspect of our life. So for the masail, find out from the ulama ikram. And now we also sometimes need some type of encouragement, some boost, little bit of encouragement. You know, you dangle a carrot for somebody, he gets more interested. So how are we going to get more interested in doing a'mal? Is by listening to more about the fazail, the virtues. You perform this salah, you're going to get this reward. You're going to read Quran, you're going to get this reward. You're going to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the benefit of it. This is the reward for it. Man gets motivated. He gets encouraged more. So for the fadail, we have this halaqat of ta'aleem in our masjids. And we have the halaqat of ta'aleem in our homes as well. Because it's important for us to make an effort that these environments are also created in our homes. And Ramadan and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very, very strongly related. Every day we should be performing tahajjud salah. But in Ramadan it's easier for us. Because waking up for sehri and the time of dhikr amongst the amal at the time of tahajjud, one is tilawat of Quran, other is tasbihat, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr of Allah, it brings sweetness in our lives and it beautifies our hearts. And a person who will remember Allah is like an alive person. He is kicking and alive. But a person who doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a dead person. Now when it's almost iftar time, it's a time for dua, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time, moments when du'as are accepted. And also, Ramadan is the month of muwasat, shahrul muwasat. It is a month of sharing. It is a month of caring, of being generous. There's another quality amongst the sahaba ikram that the ulama have extracted. Ramadan is a training ground for these sifat to come. Didn't we always hear that a person who will give one fasting person something to break his fast with? Worry, concern, you're making ikram of your brother. You gave him a kajur, you gave him water to drink. You will get the reward of his fast. Means, understand this, I'm fasting, I got one reward. I fasted, I got one fast reward. But if I give somebody else a kajur or some water to break his fast with, I got two rewards, two people's fast. If I give three people, then I get three people's. I give more people, then all the reward I'm also going to get. That is what Rasulullah has mentioned. Sahaba, ex-Rasulullah, we all of us can't afford to give elaborate things. He said, even if it's just a drop of water, a sip of water, or some milk, or some kajur, what is teaching us? Not just about the act, it's teaching us about sharing, about caring, about giving others, about fulfilling the rights of others. This is also now permeated. It mustn't be only in Ramadan. MashaAllah, we contributed towards the Halim and we helped our neighbors. We sent some sarbat for them. We bought one naan. Yes, it's good. We should be doing all those things. But more important is the spirit, the sifat should come in us. Every dimension of our life. Now we forgo our own rights. We make sure we fulfill the rights of our neighbors every day of the year. We make sure we fulfill the rights of our parents every day of the year. We make sure when somebody is sick, we visit them throughout the year. When somebody passes away, we go for the janaza every day of the year. We make salam. We attend a person's jaiz invitation. This is what Ramadan is teaching us and what we should bring in our lives. Surrendering our own desires, our own rights, fulfill the rights of every person. Because in the day of Qiyamah, all our good deeds, imagine you doing all the Taraweeh Salah, all the Tilawat of Quran, all the fasting, all the Hajj, all that is taken and given over to somebody else because you saw somebody, you abused somebody, you ridiculed somebody, you are not kind to somebody. Hence, it's very, very important as much as we focus on our own ibadah to ensure that we don't cause taklif to any person, we fulfill everybody's rights. And whatever we do, literally every single thing, whether it's our fasting, whether it's our tilawat of Quran, whether it's standing in our shop, whether it's fulfilling the rights of our wives and children and our family members, it should be done only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlas and sincerity will allow our actions to be accepted. And that being void, if our actions are done for name and fame, for any other reason, our actions are going to be rejected. Simple. There's no complications. You do it for the pleasure of Allah, it will be accepted. You do it for name or for fame and popularity, it's going to be rejected. You're not going to get any reward for it. So check our intentions. Renew and refresh on our intentions. An intention is amalul qalb. It is in our heart. And nobody else can see your heart. No sheikh, no peer, no neighbor, no friend, nobody can see what's happening in your heart. It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do anything, innamal amalu binniyat. All our actions only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, we have to keep reminding ourselves, our life in this world is temporary. We have wealth, we have health, we have life, we have time. It's limited. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, you'll get bansela, 100 years, somebody will live to, somebody will be very lucky, go over 100. But it's going to come to an end one day. And that wealth that we have, and that health that we have, and the time that we have is an amanat. Amanat means it's a trust from Allah. Allah gave it to us, it doesn't mean we must use it how we want. We have to use it in a way that Allah wants us to use it. And use it how is going to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He asks us on the day of Qiyamah, I gave you health, how did you use it? I gave you time, how did you use it? I gave you wealth, how did you earn it and spend it in which avenue did you use it? And we have to be accountable. So Ramadan is very, very important. Muhasabah we should be taking. Take stock of our lives well, Allah, you gave me health, this how time, this how I'm utilizing it. Allah, the money that you gave me, you don't have to answer to anybody else. Think about it, the salary I'm getting is month end today, or the money that come into my bank account, whether it's 5 rand, 5,000 rand, 50,000 rand, 5 million rand, how am I using it? What have I used it in any, am I using it in a correct way? Do a stock take of your wealth that you have. Have I used it in the deen, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The 27 days of February now, or the 9th day of Ramadan has come to an end. Do a stock take. How have I used the time? Have I used it profitably? Am I benefiting myself, or have I lost? Have I broke the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And utilize it in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our health, our wealth, our time, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. So for all this to come into our lives, we have to spend time in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to go out in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama and mashayikh have given us a guide. They say we should try and spend 4 months in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who makes intention, inshallah? At the first opportunity, we will try and spend 4 months in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry, we're not going to be taking you out now. Some of us are scared. Make an intention. It's Mubarak time. Inshallah, when Allah will make way, put our hands up, inshallah, we'll spend time in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then 40 days we'll try and spend, inshallah, every year. And like that, we'll try and spend 3 days in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then inshallah we'll participate in the amal of the masjid, ta'alim that takes place, masjid, ta'alim at home, the ingash that is there every week, we're meeting the brothers in our locality, and when we're going to live in locality, the outgash that takes place, and the mashura that takes place in our masajid. Masjid is not just buildings. Masjid has to have amal and people. And who's going to be part? It's us. We have to be part and parcel of the amal of the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat in Ramadan. We humbly request it, inshallah, to make dua for ourselves, make dua for our families, make dua for our communities, make dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also every Friday in Ramadan, after Ramadan, the ijtima takes place, Shab al-Guzari takes place from Asr to Ishraq the following day. Inshallah, we should try and also make it a point of attending these very Mubarak gatherings. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن شاء الله we'll make دعاء اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها إنك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا من لا تراه العيون ولا تخالطه الزنون ولا يصفه الواسفون ولا تغيره الحوادث ولا يخشى الدوائر يعلم مثاقيل الجبال ومكايل البحار وعدد قطر الأمطار وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار وما تواري من سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ولا بحر ما في قأره ولا جبل ما في وعره اللهم اجعل خير عمرنا آخرنا وخير أعمالنا خواتيمنا وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك. اللهم اجعل خير عمرنا آخرنا، خير أعمالنا خواتيمنا، وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين، فإذا أردت فتنة في قوم فتوفنا غير مفتونين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا رب العالمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا بالعلم وزينا بالحلم وأكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، والموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وأموالنا من الربا، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا والآخرة. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من آدانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك، والغنيمة من كل بر، والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته وغفرته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح، إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل، ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم، يا واسع الفضل اغفر لنا، يا واسع الفضل اغفر لنا، يا واسع الفضل اغفر لنا. اللهم إنا نسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء أن تغفر لنا. اللهم إنا نسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء أن تغفر لنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتهول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرق الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. Oh Allah, most loving, most compassionate, most merciful. Oh Allah, we beg and beseech you to forgive all our sins. Oh Allah, forgive us those sins that we committed during the day or night, knowingly or unknowingly, small or big. Oh Allah, in this Mubarak time of Friday, Ramadan, just before iftar, between Maghrib and Asar and Maghrib, du'as are accepted. Oh Allah, we beg and beseech you to forgive us. Oh Allah, we make a firm resolution never to return to those gunas. Oh Allah, we are extremely remorseful for the sins that we have committed. Oh Allah, forgive all our gunas. Oh Allah, forgive us. Shower special mercies upon us. O Allah, you are Rahman, you are Arhamur Rahimeen, you are the most merciful. O Allah, shower special mercies upon us. O Allah, shower special mercies upon our parents. O Allah, those of our parents that have left this dunya. O Allah, you fill their covers with noor. Grant them lofty status in Jannah. Grant them a position amongst the Anbiya and the Shuhada and the Sulaha. O Allah, those of us that still have parents, grant them a long life with afiyat and salamati. O most merciful, shower special mercies upon our spouses, upon our siblings, our children, our uncle and aunts, our neighbors, our close and distant family members. O Allah, shower special mercies upon the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, all those are present. You know what the joyous desires of the heart. Fulfill all the joyous desires of the heart. Oh Allah, grant us the best of this dunya and the best of the akhirah. Oh Allah, grant us steadfastness on iman. Oh Allah, grant us death on iman. Oh Allah, resurrect us on the day of qiyam with iman. Oh Allah, let the kalima لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله be on our tongues the moment we leave this world. And والله, let us leave this world in a condition that you are pleased with us. والله, accept from us our du'as. ذهب الضم وابتلت الوروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. اللهم لك سمت وبك آمنت وعليك توكلت وعلى رزقك أفطرت فتقبل مني. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.